first question is from Gupta Govardhan. Srila Gurudev asks us to always attend the arati. But if we do not have desire to do it, we just have to be there because we have to. Why don't we have the desire and where to get it?
Well, once Shyamananda Prabhu, disciple of Srila Guru Maharaj, he asked Guru Maharaj on this question. As Guru Maharaj framed it in another way, with regard to hunger. There's the famous sloka of Rupa Goswami, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavitamati Kriyatam Yuti Kutopi Nalabhyate Tatra Loliam Mulyam Ekalam Janmakoti Sukritair Nalabhyate. So it's very interesting. He's saying for real substantial aspect of Krishna consciousness, Janmakoti Sukritair Nalabhyate. He says, you won't get it. But Janmakoti means 10 million births, Sukriti. So he's saying, 10 million births of accumulating Sukriti will not give you this thing called Lolium in this context. Because interestingly, Lolium, just like many aspects of Aprakrita, Krishna conception, Lolium, it has another side where it's condemned or told to be something that is detrimental, right? And that word is used in, what is it? Atyahara prayasa cha prajalpal niyamagraha janat sangas cha lolyam cha sadbir bhaktir vinashati, the things that ruin devotion. But there's another type of lolyam, as in this verse they're saying, no, that's it. That's the real thing. And where you can get that, we're told, buy it, steal it, whatever you have to do to get that, be prepared to make that sacrifice. And really, if we look thematically at what we're being told in many different places, then we can understand. We factor in other things we've heard, bhaktya, sanjataya, bhaktya, that you can only get this, only devotion awakens devotion in others. There's not something else that awakens devotion. That's why it's mysterious. On one hand says, Krishna bhakti, nitya siddha sadhya kabunoi. There's no sadhya really for this. Shravanadi shudachite koroye udai, but hearing, and hearing from whom? Swadhanbhuto anushanaya dattavarnaya also. Jnane parasamurabhasanamante eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiyabhartam sthanesthita shrutigatam. Hearing from Krishna's, someone who Krishna has accepted as his own. Really, Krishna is in his heart. And not, we're not talking about Paramatma. Paramatma is in everyone's heart. Then we can hear from everyone. It must mean something else. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santaksa deva hridayeshu vilokayanti yang shyama sundaram Achintya guna svarupam. That's Krishna, inconceivable, really. The name, form, qualities, pastimes of Krishna, they're inconceivable. They cannot be grasped or understood, verified by the intellect, the mind, the senses. They're beyond the reach of these things. So then they're unreachable, like ajita, unconquerable. You cannot be, say, ye prayasa jita jito piyasi taistri lokyam. But this other method, what is that? Huh? It's a frog? Do you know him personally? Maybe you can have steak with him. He just wants some attention. Or bring him here or something. You can. Maybe that's what he's saying. Why can't I be in the classroom? It's a rather loud frog. I heard two or three of them last night. One and then another. Then it took them a while. They figured out they could all do it at the same time. Then it was like too much. That's the power of association. Then it was like Sankirtan. Anyway, sometimes if they know you're giving them attention, then they're quiet. Anyway, we'll just have to live with it. But, so this principle that you only get this in association with someone who has it. So on the one hand, really we're being told it's something that's, it's not foreign, it's innate, but undeveloped. Right? And certain types of association bring it out. Other things cover it or keep it buried to the point of suppressed to the position of almost non-existent. But it that can never be, actually, because Mahaprabhu tells Sanatana Goswami, when Sanatana says, Ke ami keni amoy, jari tapitroy, iha nahi jani kemoni hitohoy. Who am I? Why am I suffering the threefold miseries of material existence? Adhyatmik, adhibhautik, adhidevik, self imposed misery from others, right? Other living beings, like maybe mosquitoes or scorpions or other things. And adhidevik, the gods or nature. It's interesting, and I don't know if they still use this expression, but in insurance policies, at least in the United States, if you look at the language of an insurance policy, and it was legal language, and it would say, you're covered for this, this, that, and the other thing, and then they would mention things that are not covered in the policy. And one of the expression they would use, acts of God, they say, we don't cover that. We're not going to pay you if it's an act of God. And what do they mean by that? They mean like nature, hurricane, tornado, earthquake, those things. So that's like deva, adidevika, from nature and nature and the background, the gods, acts of God. So Sanatana Goswami says, if I don't know who I am and why I'm suffering as I am at present, iha nahi jani, not knowing that, kemone hitohoi, how can I know what's beneficial for me? Right. So this is part of the flawed thinking in the modern world of identity, politics and identity assertion. Yes, everyone, we understand there should be equal, everyone should be treated equally within the context of rights and such things. But in terms of really discovering who I am and what is my purpose, then I have to go beyond the layers of acquired prejudice that accompany being born in a particular time and space, gender, circumstance, socio-economical, political, educational, all of these things. Janmaisvarya Shruti Srivir Edamanam Adak Pumang Naivarhat Abhidatumbai Tamakinsana Gocharam. Kunti Devi says actually what may be considered four assets materially, Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Sri, means high birth, Aishwarya, wealth, Shruta means education, Sri means physical beauty. What may be considered material assets may be spiritually put one at a disadvantage. Why? Because of distracting one from the central purpose of actually discovering one's identity. Mahaprabhu's answer to Sanatana Goswami, oh, and Kunti said, just to finish it off, Tvam akinchana gocharam, you're more easily approached by those who are in Prabhupada's rendering. He said, materially exhausted. What does he mean by that? Those who, they don't see any prospect in the world from them. And we're not talking about socio-political, business, operative, that kind, that's not what he's talking about. It means not seeing the world as capable of offering true fulfillment. Right? And it has to do with what is the core of one's identity. This I have mentioned different times in Russia, although I know little about the history of the Russian people, but what little I do know of its history, the people, its literature. One of their good qualities is a healthy skepticism or pessimism about the mundane. They never bought the idea that you could be happy in the material world. They didn't buy into that particular illusion. And it's typified, personified in these chanson songs, which are odd in that usually what older people, the music older people like and younger people like, they're just totally, you know, at opposite ends of the spectrum. But these chanson songs, everybody knows, there's some element of truth in there that appeals to everyone across the spectrum. And what is the basic chanson song is that, hey, don't be too happy. Tomorrow you could wake up dead, in jail, under investigation. Like, so there's this healthy skepticism in the background. Things may be going all right for a while, but don't expect it to last. Because this is Russia, it's Mother Russia, things, you know, different principles apply here. So they're acknowledging that they're suspicious of too much material well-being. Even Alexander Solzhenitsyn said in his talk, Harvard commencement address, and when was it, 1976, 78, somewhere around there, that he said, even from a biological point of view, too much well-being is unhealthy. He made that point. You need some opposition or something that's, you know, an environment that on a certain level is threatening. I mean, you say, well, who wants that? No one wants it outright, but there's no place in the world that is exempt from that. That is Krishna's message to, or part of the message to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita when he says, it is, you know, janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam, or anityam asukam lokam. What is this world characterized? Anityam, it's temporary. Asukam, it's full of unhappiness. So the Vedic aphorism, what is it? Tamasimam Jyotirgama, I forget the rest. Take me from darkness to light, from ignorance to knowledge, from suffering to happiness. But what Kunti is saying there, really, you have to have exhausted this world as a agent for fulfilling that prospect to take spiritual life seriously. Right? you'll be better off. You'll be more focused if you realize this world cannot offer that to you. That's why, interestingly, Srila Guru Maharaj's husband, Saraswati Thakur, would explain the Tadvidi Pranipatena Pariprajnena Seva Slok in the Bhagavad Gita about how to approach Guru. He said, Pranipat, which we take means, you know, to bow and respectfully make that approach. We mentioned taking the highest aspect of yourself and bowing it in recognition of the superiority of the least aspect of the plane that you're seeking connection with, admission to. But Saraswati Thakur would say, it is a one-way ticket. It's not a round-trip ticket. It's a one-way ticket saying, I'm finished with the experience of this world. And what does that mean? As an agent of fulfillment, that I can realize myself or my identity in terms of connecting with it, right? Making my identity some aspect of the mundane world. And that's the flaw of many movements and the modern world, the thing that freedom means freedom for the senses, whereas the Eastern perspective, Guru Maharaj said, freedom from the senses, that's liberation proper. And freedom for the senses will not lead to self-discovery. Have to become free from mundane pursuit. So Kunti says, akinchana gocha, those who are, their real assets are not detected within the mundane, they can appreciate this. So Mahaprabhu's answer to Sanatana Goswami is, jive swarupai krishnara nitya das. The real identity, the swarup of the jiva, is the eternal servant of Krishna. It's simple but profound. Eternal servant of Krishna. That means it's a position that is always theirs. Only it can be suppressed. One can become distracted. Bhayam ditya binibeshi tatsya adishara paitasya viparyayo smriti. Forgetfulness, of the, we can forget that. It can become dormant, but not extinguished. Right? And the idea that from the sadhus, sadhu shastra guru Vaishnav, that they're going to be giving something that's not innate to us, meaning something foreign, that's not really the case. That cannot be. That would be counter to the statements of Mahaprabhu, the statements of all the scriptures. So but the word udoy is used, which means awakens. You cannot awaken something that was not sleeping, right? In this sense. So it's lying there dormant in an undeveloped stage. It's awakened. Sravanadi shuddha chitte koroye udoy. Right? Hearing sravan adi. Sravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smaranam, archanam, parasevanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmani vedanam. In different ways. So Guru Maharaj said, what is required is hunger, genuine hunger for the thing. And that's something we can relate to. We know what it means to be hungry. And when you're just so-so, you're not feeling anything, then at that time, these things are not appreciable. But when one is hungry, then every morsel is relished. So it's hunger that allows for that, the relish. Understand, the substance has to be innately relishable, but what allows us to relish is that there's some genuine hunger or hankering, not curiosity, genuine hunger, because when neophyte devotees will read that slogan, they say, yeah, I want that. I'm very loyal. I'm very eager for that. For Raga Bhakti, the higher, I really want that. I want it. Isn't that what it says? As much as you want it, you'll get it. You have to really, I want it. Guru Maharaj is saying, deserve, then desire. Some neophyte devotee is going to voyeuristically envision themselves as part of a group of super servitors in Goloka Vrindavan. This is ridiculous. It's not only a fantasy, it's a nightmare. Right? It's unreal. It's what Guru Maharaj calls fictitious devotion. Right? It's like that Stanislavski method. If you want to be an actor, it's a good method. He's the acting guru, saying, you walk like this person, talk like them, eat like them, do everything they do, mimic their behavior day and night, and you'll find suddenly an epiphany where you've become that person. Right? So, it's still acting. It's imitation. So it's one of the flaws of Prakriti Sahajyaism, is to imitate devotees. There's a difference between what is it? Anusar, anukar. Right? Imitation and following in principle their approach, their behavior. There's a big difference. We're told if we imitate the Mahabhagavatas, we go down. So Guru Maharaj said, we need to get that hunger for the real thing. Then Shyamananda Prabhu said to him, how to acquire that hunger? And here's the answer to your question. He said, associate with the hungry. You know? And sometimes Bhakti Sharan Vaishnava Maharaj, Shruta Shravaka Prabhu, he pointed out that Gurudev, he could describe prasadam and food in such a way that even if you've just eaten the feast, he could awaken hunger in you again. Because there was just such relish being conveyed from him about particular things. So he could awaken that hunger in you if you'd just eaten a feast. So it's something like that. By hearing and associating, because we can also associate, we associate through service. Hearing doesn't mean just literally hearing. What's the evidence of having heard? Is resultant behavior or modification of consciousness, heart, in the deep heart's core. Something enters, not just literally hearing. Avaishnava mukodgiranam putam harikatamritam sravanam naiva kartavyam sarpuchistam yatapayo. If it was a question of just hearing, why is Sanatana Goswami condemning hearing from a Vaishnava or a non-Vaishnava? Same word, same topic, same everything. He's saying, don't hear from them. Because it's that poisonous intent. Mundane intention, ulterior motive. It's going to another plane. It's not the in-carrying current that this Shravanadi Shudachite Koroye Udoy, awakening one to a prospect of a life of service to Krishna. But it's the opposite. Seeing Krishna as an object of fulfillment. Seeing Krishna consciousness as an an objective sense of fulfillment. So devotees are sometimes disappointed that the holy name is not making them ecstatic, or they're going to the arati and not connecting with that, or hearing from the scripture and not having a deeply moving experience or divine revelation. Still, that we're told, go on hearing, Shunite, shunite, here again and again and again. If you can just do that faithfully and say, all right, maybe I'm in a position right now of not appreciating. At least I can understand theoretically what's possible by statements of Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, and Vaishnava. But right now, I'm not in a position of appreciation so much. So at least let me participate and associate and offer my energy and service. And perhaps by the grace of these Vaishnavas, of Guru and Vaishnav, some transformation will come to me. The song saying Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya mentions Aparad. The narrator of that song is saying, please free me from these Aparads which are obstructing my progress in the service line. So, and another thing to consider, as Guru Maharaj is saying, the general concept of darshan is to go and see. Like we think, oh, we'll go see the deity. When some disciples of Saraswati Thakur, Guru Maharaj tells the story differently according to the deity, but let's say Gaur Gadadhar. They come back from the darshan of Gaur Gadadhar and Saraswati Thakur says, you saw Gaur Gadadhar? And they said, oh yes, Guru Maharaj, we saw Gaur Gadadhar, very wonderful. You saw Gaur Gadadhar? Yes, it was simply wonderful. You saw Gaur Gadadhar? No, Guru Maharaj, we did not see Gaur Gadadhar. He said, yes, that was your eye exercise. Right? We're told in the Bhagavatam and elsewhere how the eye will first focus on the lotus feet of the Lord, then gradually move up the form and to different places, then to the smiling face, this, that, and so he's saying that means your eyeball, like it's starting down, then it's going up, it's going to the left, going to the right. He's saying what you're doing is eye exercise. What does he mean? What is your capacity to see the deity, to see Krishna, right? To see Jagannath? I mentioned that when someone made a murti of Guru Maharaj after his disappearance, and some devotees were not completely happy with that, thinking that it didn't really look like Guru Maharaj. And Srila Gurudev said, if Jagannath is Krishna, then that's Guru Maharaj. We could take that in different directions, but let's just say, he's saying like, what is my capacity? When Mahaprabhu, what to speak of Jagannath, when Mahaprabhu looks at the, what is it, Gopuram, the top of the dome, you know, the Jagannath dome, the very top, there's like some gargoyles up there and the top, and the flag and the chakra. Remember, he tells Haridas Thakur, from Siddha Bokul, you can hear, take the holy name. When you see the chakra, it's like seeing Krishna. And we're thinking, what? I remember the first time that I saw, I went, okay. Because I thought, well, I must not know how to see Krishna. But in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it says, Mahaprabhu, he's seeing Gopal. I mean, it's getting more specific about how he's seeing Krishna. But anyway, what was my point? Oh, capacity to see. So another way, because we think, yes, so why should I go? I'm not seeing Krishna. I'm seeing the statue, the murti, you know, I don't want to be offensive. But then Guru Maharaj, what he says, the proper darshan way, is actually helpful to us. He said, actually, darshan means you go to present yourself to be seen by the deity. So we may not have so much capacity to realize the presence of the Lord, even Giriraj Govardhan, who's so merciful, Mahaprabhu, Radha Govinda. But on the basis of our faith, Guru, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vaishnav, they're telling us, present yourself to the deity. Go to be seen by the deity. That will be good for you. So then if we think, all right, maybe I'm not so inclined, I don't have so much enthusiasm, well, then that puts me even more in a position that let me at least go present myself before the deity. That'll be good for me to be seen by the deity. And if I can stay, hear the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of Guru Maharaj, and from time to time, look and see what they mean. What's being described there is very sweet, it's enchanting, it's very beautiful. It's for that to pass through our consciousness every day is also very good. So either way, we have a case to go to present ourselves. If there is some enthusiasm, then no problem. And if there isn't, maybe all the more reason to. But if we have a good friend who's eager, that'll be best. Someone, when we're not feeling so much inspiration or enthusiasm, eagerness, hunger, can be awakened by good association. When we're on the Padarasta, going from Hrishikesh Haridwar to Badrinath, it was in 1976. It's around 180 kilometers, the walk. And sometimes it was very discouraging. I mean, we were not accustomed to doing this. But that discouragement came to, there's four, we divided into two groups of two. My partner, if I'm feeling discouraged, he's saying, oh, the next chati is just, you know, it's around the corner. Don't give up now. And maybe that wasn't entirely true, but just hearing that, you know, thought, all right, yeah, I'll try a little bit longer. And then the same, and reversed. And sometimes I've got my second wind, more enthusiastic. My friend is not so enthusiastic. So we're encouraging each other in that way. That's the principle of association, can awaken some interest, enthusiasm, hankering, hunger in others. Sadhu sangha, sarva shastra koi, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoi. So it's so important that we're told a moment's association with the highest type of sadhu is capable of giving one all perfection. It's that powerful. And I mentioned Gurudev telling the story of Vasishtha Rishi and Vishwamitra Muni and Anantadev. And Vishwamitra, he approaches Vasishtha for some particular type of spiritual instruction. Anantadev, Vasishtha said, Anantadev is the master of this. You should approach Anantadev. So by his mystic power, he goes to perhaps the bottom of the universe where Ananta's holding all the planets or universes, on his head. And he's approaching him, please, if you can instruct me in this particular spiritual knowledge. And Ananta said, oh, holding these planets gives me a headache. Can you give me some relief? I think, by what power could I possibly, well, your mystic power that you've accumulated, see what you can do. So he summons all of his mystic power. He can't hold one planet. And Anantadev, that's all you got? What about sadhu sangha? Any sadhu sangha you had? I was with Vasishtha for a moment. All right, try that. Suddenly he's holding planets. Anantadev, oh, what a relief. How can I help you? Well, this particular knowledge. Actually, Vasishtha Rishi is the expert for that knowledge. This from me, he's now sometimes gets a little angry. What? He, by mystic power, returns to Vasishtha and says, you sent me to Anandadeva, and he tells me, you're actually the expert in this regard. Why did you? And his answer was, because you had no faith in me. Now, after Anantadeva has given his endorsement that Vasishtha Rishi is the man, he's the one you need to hear from. Now you have some faith. Now you're ready to hear. So that type of good fortune, Sudurlabha Bhagavata Hiloke, very rare to achieve in this world. Have such connection with such saints, but really, all of this Krishna consciousness movement is based upon that. The sum and substance of this movement is based upon having gotten superior association. Because we say, "Oh, Prabhupada, he brought the holy name, the books," and yes, that's your answer. Without the devotee, without him, then you didn't get the holy name, the books, the deity, you didn't get any of that. And Guru Maharaj is like, without Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj, we didn't know about Guru Maharaj. And Srila Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj. And again, what we got from them, it's through association and service. And it's still going on with their faithful disciples, followers, friends. That's really how Krishna consciousness works, is through association with devotees. Beginning, middle, and end. Seva sadaka rupena siddha rupena chatrihi. Even in the upper world, still under the care, guidance, association of genuine devotees of Krishna, whom Krishna considers his own, sajjan toshini, to please them. Any other question?
What does it really mean?
What
does it really mean?
And what? This, what does what mean?
Steal or buy this laulyam. What does it really mean?
Oh.
Steal or buy it. How can we steal or buy it?
Well, that means, we're told, when you come in connection with the Mahabhagavata, the Kanishta Bhagavat somewhere described taking the holy name of Krishna, the Madhyam Bhagavat is constantly immersed in Krishna Nam, etc. And the Mahabhagavata, Krishna Nam descends within you. So what is the appropriate response to be in connection with such a person? Is to offer yourself in service to them. Then by serving them, the hunger that they have, the hankering, their version of Krishna consciousness, we're told, comes to the sincere servitor as remuneration for the service. So by hearing from them, they describe Krishna in a particular way, with a particular relish. It awakens some happiness or sense of prospect in the heart that leads one to say, I want to serve this devotee. That will be the natural response. Guru Maharaj would sometimes say, not to go away and like saying, oh, I've got something valuable in my pocket. You know, I just met with the sadhu and now I got something. But rather to the evidence that something substantial entered the heart and consciousness is in expressing one's willingness to offer oneself, to dedicate oneself in service. That's like the transaction loop. When Saraswati Thakur would impress his Krishna consciousness upon his followers. And remember, many of these men, they're of high sanskar, their background. They were grew up in Vaishnava families. Some of them are Sanskritians. Their whole lives they've heard about Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and still he's taking them, you know, dive deep into reality, taking them deep into pure Krishna conception. And as Guru Maharaj Saki Charan Babu, who was there in the beginning, saying, sometimes Saraswati Thakur was pounding on the table, speaking very intensely, his face becoming flush. Guru Maharaj later compared it to type of lotus, like white, pink, white, pink, white, pink, like a bloom, flushed, fully blossomed lotus flower, and the stream of nectar coming out from them, but that was beyond their capacity to understand, even with their sanskar and background. And he said, what I could understand is Guru Maharaj Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur, he's forcibly trying to make us taste some nectarine substance. In common English, he's trying to ram nectar down their throats. That's what he's saying. Then what did Saraswati Thakur say later when some lawyer he's meeting with, remember, Kripaya Hari Kirtana Murti Dharam, at every opportunity, he's preaching Krishna consciousness to the point of exhaustion. So even in this legal affair, he's preaching to the lawyer, and that lawyer says, are you trying to convert me? And Saraswati Thakur said, yes. He said, actually, if you could just pay attention and concentrate for 5 minutes, then you would realize it's actually not a conversion, it's your innate wealth all along. But can you do that? And then Saraswati Thakur said, I was in the jungle of Mayapur, in the beginning, right? And he said, remember, before Bhaktivinoda Thakur, people were afraid to go there, in this area. It was unincorporated, there were dacoits. When he inaugurated the first Mayapur festival, he had to hire some people. Some Brahmin cooks were afraid to go. There's so many things. Anyway, so Saraswati Thakur says, I was in the jungle of Mayapur alone. He said, now I've got 500 men who say what I say. So it transferred from him, the heart of Saraswati Thakur, into their hearts. That's really diksha. What are you saying? Diksha kale bhaktakori atma samarpam. And the next line. How did that? Anyway, I forget, but saying, really, it has to do with offering atma samarpan, means completely offering yourself. It's that time. So they offered themselves, body, mind, soul, to be infused. Vilasatu hridi nityam bhakti siddhanta bani. With Saraswati Thakur's Krishna consciousness. And then they became agents of transmission. Guru Maharaj said in one place, our duty is to become, you know, like, I forget the exact word, but agents of transmission, right? To transmit what has come to us by the grace of higher Vaishnavas and to transmit that to others. And Guru Maharaj added, and not anything less than was given to you. That's the standard we should strive for. It's not legitimate in one sense to say, to lament, oh, you know, he gave so much, or the preceding guru, and now then you represent that. When Guru Maharaj said, one man, after the disappearance of Saraswati Thakur, the devotees are preaching, he said, oh, there's none among you who can give like he did. And then Guru Maharaj said to him, but do you believe that what he came to give, he gave that thing and someone received it or not? Maybe there's no one qualified to give to the level of him, but someone received something or not? Then it has its value. The same thing with Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj, Gurudev. We don't say that anyone has the same capacity, but if we say in the case of Prabhupada, as people do and should, they say, he spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. You cannot then say in the same breath that, well, there's no one who's evidence of that. There's no one who's the evidence of his having spread Krishna consciousness to anyone. But I thought you just said he spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. But now you say there's nobody who's Krishna conscious. If you say, yeah, not to that level, that's okay. But nothing, that is indirectly to say something less than flattering about the Guru Varga. They came to give something, and according to people's capacity, they got that and appreciated that. And we can legitimately extend that to others. As Guru Maharaj said, if you're suffering from some medical condition, people do this all the time, and then you took some medicine and it cured you. Then someone comes to you, or you see someone, your friend, they have the same condition. So then, even though you're not, you know, a doctor or supremely qualified, you know, I was suffering from that, this helped me. In good faith, you can recommend that to another person. Because Guru Maharaj was being treated by a physician once. And again, he's having a spiritual discussion with him. And about Guru and this, that, and the other thing. And so at one point, Guru Maharaj said to the doctor, he said, do you know everything there is to know about medicine? And the doctor said, of course not. And Guru Maharaj said, then why do you treat people? You don't know everything. Why do you treat people? And he said, that doctor said, then all medical treatment would vanish. If the requirement, he knows everything about medicine. So, Gurudev would say, if I have 5 rupees, I do a 5-rupee business. Everyone got something. And in goodwill, that can be recommended, promoted to others. But if we say, well, but Guru is Tri Kalagya, Sarvagya. Yeah, that Guru is not a jiva. Guru is Krishna. But the inspired side of a Vaishnava, we detect Guru, Krishna's presence. I have so many friends. Say, why did you come? Why did you pick me? He goes, oh, the light was on. Your light was on. Anything else?
Maria Glushenko and Anna Goldman invites you in Kiev.
Hare Krishna.
Invite you in Kiev.
We're going to be in Kiev and...
Yeah, I understand.
How many days? 4 days. 4 or 5 days. And we look forward to seeing her, Anna Goldman, and she's one of our faithful viewers for such a long time, and the others.
That's your quotes here. Some, how to say, some quote from one of your lecture. In Vedic culture, visual arts are in the lowest section of society.
We do what?
In Vedic culture, visual arts.
Visual arts
are in the lowest section of society.
Yes.
And then Teresa Laura de Mola is asking, I thought devotees were measured in a different way than the mundane aspect of the Vedas. Why is this thing about that artist belongs to the lower section? I don't understand.
Well, it's because, I mean, if I understand what's being said, right? We're talking about Vedic culture. That means the arts, means painting, singing, dancing, performance, those things. That was generally done by Shudras. So it's interesting. In Kali Yuga, there's like a, you know, things are topsy-turvy or upside down. So the same people in the Kali Yuga, they make $20 million for making a movie that takes them 3 months to make. It's okay. But that's what I mean. They're art or artisans. They're making a carving on a temple or on a Sringasan. That's the way art was for the longest time. Right? It's a relatively modern phenomenon of the idea of the artist as some kind of genius, which I have my doubts about. And we're not talking about Michelangelo, that he's a genius, right, in many different ways. But I'm saying they'll show some artist in the modern world who, well, like Picasso, he's an artistic genius, but where he is in terms of his realization, we could say, as a human being, there may be something to be desired. Now I just offended the Spanish-speaking world. I'm a fan of Picasso, but I see, as a person, if you know some of his history, he's described in many different ways. So just that you're able to do this doesn't necessarily imply some deep sort of spiritual realization, is what I mean to say. It doesn't disqualify you, but one doesn't imply the other. Whereas traditionally, before the 20th century, even Michelangelo and Leonardo, they're hired hands. Even those who were so great, and we say approach genius, they're hired by rich people to decorate their places. That tells you right there who they are. They're hired people. They're artisans. But they're so gifted, they've come to be seen in another way. So singers, dancers, performers, they have their place in society, but it was not in the higher section. Vedic culture is dead, by the way. But as someone said, you know, and when an elephant is dead, still the tusks have value. So, but, and just a crude example, but simple. We all know of Bollywood. Until recent times, a Brahmin girl could not be an actress. That would have been considered inappropriate and degrading for a Brahmin girl to be an actress. When I first flew to India, I was on Air India. So on the way there, I like have my little altar, my mala. On the walls were pictures of Krishna Leela. Krishna lifting Govardhan and blissfully, flying through the air at 800 kilometers an hour on my way to India. The flight attendants all wore saris and bindi and, you know, and everything, but they weren't Hindu girls, because no Hindu girl would not serve alcohol and meat to anyone. So I remember when I discovered this personally and also read about it later, when I'm like this on one flight, and one of these flight attendants, in a full sari, everything, she says to me, "Is this some sort of religious dress?" She's asking me. And we're like, "What?" I thought she was joking. She was just inquiring. She was a Christian. So many of the flight attendants, they were Christians from Bombay who knew nothing about these kind of things, really didn't know. Because, why? Just me in a small moment. This is in the 70s. Even a Brahmin, a Hindu girl would not serve alcohol and meat on an airplane to someone. So if you can extrapolate from that and go back, you can understand something about Vedic culture. So Brahmins have a particular place in society and they deal primarily with scriptures, instruction. All these Brahmin names, Banerjee is Bandyopadhyay, Chatterjee, Chattopadhyay, Upadhyay, means they're instructors. Teachers, what is Guru's name? Bhattacharya. They're acharyas. And not just teachers of anything and everything, but they teach shastra, scripture, scriptural instruction. That's what that section does. Kshatriyas have another, they're dealing with military, politics, governance. Vaishyas, the business. Trade, also, agriculture, and then Shudras in service to the other classes. So if this provides amusement for the other classes, then it's naturally a Shudra type work. And I'm saying there's nothing, no shame in that, but that's the position it occupied. Now, in Kali Yuga, we know someone gets paid, $20 million a year for playing any particular type of ball, whether football, basketball, this, that, or the other thing. It's okay, but it's also amusing. And whereas teachers get very little salary. But that's just social issues. So, and I'm reminded, once one devotee wanted to have these deities, like Krishna, Balaram, Subal, and Sridham. And they're asking Guru Maharaj, how should Subal be shown? And Guru Maharaj said, ready to fulfill the inner desires of Krishna. And again, no, but I mean, what should his posture, how should he be? Gauranga said, ready to serve the inner desires of Krishna. And then they go, but maybe you don't understand, Gauranga's return, like where his arms should be. And Gauranga said, that an artist can decide. Said, oh, I thought you were asking me something substantial. Like, oh, Subal, why does he occupy his position? Because he's aware of and ready to fulfill the inner desires of Krishna. There's something, compacted in that statement, encrypted there. But that is not their interest. They want to know, should the hand be like this or like that? He said, no, artists can decide that. Artist, artisan.
So she is still asking, shall we care about the cast?
Means should we
care about the cast?
Success?
Cast means if someone making visual arts, should we...
Say it again. Say the whole sentence.
She would care about the case.
Case? If
taste.
Someone, yes, is making visual art.
T-A-S-T-E.
C-A-S-T-E.
Taste. You mean like taste and clothes, style, refinement?
Yeah, like lower section of society in modern world. Should he consider as lower caste man, lower section of society man, he is making visual arts.
Caste. Oh, C-A-S-T-E, like caste. No, it's a Janmana Jayate Shudra. Everyone in Kalo Shudra Sambhavat. Everyone in Kali Yuga's Shudra. This is all a fantasy about Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas. I remember being at a Sunday feast in the Washington, D.C. temple many, many years ago. And I was with this divine. We're drinking some so-called nectar. And some, like, very attractive girl went by, and he made some comment about this girl. And I was, like, shocked. You know, we're supposed to be brahmacharis. And he looked at me and he said, oh, that's right, you're not a Kshatriya. In Russia, once someone gave me a business card, it said, so-and-so das, like, for all your yogic needs, it said, so-and-so das, Brahmin. You're fooling yourself. Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, this is, we can talk about what was. It's not even really, it's not even properly represented in India. What to speak of anywhere else? What does Krishna say in the Gita? Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha. How is this qualified? The chatur varnam mayasristam guna karma. That's the one. Chatur varnam mayasristam guna karma vibhagasaha. That's the one. Should be guna. Qualities, karma, activities, tendencies. Not birth. So the whole thing is rotten and polluted. So only if you were doing some kind of an academic paper and you're trying to show some parallels or something, but we are outcasts. Means outside of this system. Vaishnavism is another thing, and Saraswati Thakur's Deva Varnasham, it's another thing. But there is no proper representation of the caste system in the modern world. And everything's mixed. So what is a real Brahmin is someone who's concerned with Brahma, with spirit. It's in their DNA. What other people have a hard time getting their minds around, they accept without question. They've always known that. It's intuitive to them. And that's not even Vaishnavism. That's just being a Brahmin. And if you meet someone who knows these things in India, a Brahmin man who has a job somewhere, when I would go on life membership collection, they would be apologetic once they knew they were in touch with someone who knew something by the grace of our Guru Bhagavan. They know a Brahmin should, what they call service in India means have a job. Brahmins don't work for people. They just come to the line and say, oh, your family name and a line of people. Yeah, now he's got a job working for the government. He's embarrassed because he knows it's not proper according to the caste and the structure. That's all, for the most part, vanished. Doesn't mean now and then you meet somebody who you can see is, how do you say, adept, or they have some brahminical qualities. It's not to deny that, but caste, and this is all finished. And there's not, and Varnashram was rejected by Mahaprabhu in the Ramananda Sambhad. Eho bahya, age, that's external. So even when it's working, when it was working previously, Gurumar said, what is it? It's a system whereby which society as a whole, with these divided in this way and working together, like the legs, belly, arms, head, can, he said, march from the mundane to Vaikuntha. That's the idea. Vishnu aradyate pungsan nanyata toshakaranam. Supposed to culminate in the worship of Vishnu, or ultimately Krishna. Now, there's not enough time for this. And in Kali Yuga, everything's topsy-turvy, upside down. So Saraswati Thakur's movement, Sarvadharmam Parichajamam Ekam Shana, whatever you conceived of previously, give it up. Just run to Krishna. Make your connection with Krishna conception. And within this, and the Deva Varnashram, it's all glorious. Brahminical activities, Kshatriya-like activities, everything. It's all seva. As Saraswati Thakur, the domestic activities of the mat is Radha Dasyam. So it's beautiful. Whatever anyone's tendencies are, if they come here and get the Krishna connection, then that will take them to the highest position. Varnashram is a system for structuring, you know, what is it, social stratification to according to people's natural qualities and tendencies so that they can make progress out of the mundane into the spiritual. It's rejected by Mahaprabhu as a means now. What did he say? One of the first verses we started with tonight. Gyane prayasamuda pasanamante eva jivanti san mukharita. That means the sadhu. Sat mukharita. Hear from them. Sthanestita shrutigatam, whatever your position is. And we're outside of that system. What to speak of, those are out, within it, without. Whatever your position is, you begin hearing from a genuine agent of Krishna and making your progress from there. You may have to walk through the mud to get out of the mud. But once you express the heart, you hear this and the heart expresses some appreciation, you're going in the right direction. And Guru Maharaj says, the spiritual experts say, whether it's today or tomorrow, it's guaranteed. Just like when if someone is a famous doctor who's the expert at curing a particular disease, and you say, you go, oh, you have this disease, who's your doctor? So-and-so. Oh, consider yourself cured. Yeah, you'll have to undergo that, but they're just saying, this person is the, consider yourself cured. It's something like that. You get this connection, consider yourself cured. Still, we'll have to submit to treatment, but consider yourself cured. The experts do. Maybe beyond what we can see or even believe that's possible, but the spiritual experts say it's so potent, this type of injection of Krishna conception from substantial agents, that today or tomorrow, it's inevitable. And Narada deals with this with Vyasa, saying, even if it's suppressed for some time or someone goes away, deep in the core of their heart, again, the remembrance of the relish experience and connection with Krishna consciousness will resurface and assert itself, be reawakened in divine association. Remember, janmakoti sukritaya nalabhyate. 100 births of doing Varnashram right, you can become Brahma. Beyond that, attain the position, Shivata. Right? But, Kita janmaho jatatu adas bahir mukha brahma nahi janmayas. rather be an insect and Gupta Govardhan than Brahma as a non-devotee. Hare Krishna.